Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about Yellowstone National Park's grizzly bears, an update on children removed from the ranch for kids in Rexford, and Montana Governor Steve Bullock's goals for the historic Presidential Forum on Native American Issues this week. It's Monday, August 19th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Wildlife officials say fewer grizzly bears have been euthanized this year in Yellowstone National Park compared to previous years. The Powell Tribune reported Thursday that the U.S. Geological Survey reported 9 grizzly bears were euthanized in Wyoming this year, but the number could increase before the bears go into hibernation in December. Officials say the Wyoming Game and Fish Department killed a record-high 32 grizzly bears in 2018, including 17 by mid-August last year. Officials say grizzly bears are euthanized to manage conflicts at the park that spans across Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. Wildlife officials say 3 bears have also died in automobile collisions, 2 of them in Montana. Officials say they encourage people in the region to carry some type of defense in case of an encounter. The state is still caring for an unknown number of children removed from the ranch for kids in Rexford last month due to allegations of chronic abuse. Health officials removed 27 children from the private facility that said it provided therapy to children with severe emotional and behavioral issues. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
The Montana Department of Health and Human Services says it received allegations of abuse at the ranch for kids about a month before it gained regulatory oversight of the ranch and 13 similar facilities July 1st. HHS says its subsequent investigation substantiated allegations that staff hit, kicked, and body slammed children and forced them to go on 16-mile walks on remote roads in bad conditions. Department spokesperson John Ebelt told MTPR in a recent interview that a portion of children taken into state custody are still waiting to be placed in other programs.
And a majority of the 27 children have been reunited with their parents. The ones that have not, we're working with their parents and the court to place these children in the most suitable facility it would be a case-by-case basis.
In an emailed statement Friday, the department said the unspecified number of children were taking longer to place because they are, quote, complex welfare cases. The state also suspended Ranch for Kids' license to operate, something the ranch is appealing. The appeal hearing itself and its date are confidential, but Ebelt says HHS will post the outcome on its website. Ranch for Kids Executive Director Bill Sutley has denied allegations of physical abuse. MTPR reached out to Sutley for comment, but did not hear back in time for this story. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A former Anaconda High School basketball player has admitted raping a 14-year-old girl while attending a basketball tournament in Hamilton. The player, who was 17 at the time of the February 2017 rape, was initially charged in adult court but entered his plea Thursday in juvenile court. The Ravalli Republic reports the recommended sentence is 14 days in jail and a probationary term until he's 25. If he meets the probationary terms, his juvenile record could be sealed. Ravalli County Attorney Bill Fulbright says if he breaks the conditions, he would face a 5-year adult sentence with the Department of Corrections. Court records say 2 Anaconda players pressured the girl into having sex in the motel where the team was staying. The case against the second defendant is not settled. Wildlife officials say the hailstorm last weekend, packing 70-mile-per-hour winds, killed or maimed more than 11,000 birds when it rolled over a central Montana lake and nesting area. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Park officials said Friday that the storm with 2-inch hailstones killed about 20% to 30% of the waterfowl at the Big Lake Wildlife Management. Some birds with broken wings and other injuries are not expected to survive. Agency spokesperson Bob Gibson says the lake northwest of Billings had attracted more birds than usual this summer after a wet spring. Gibson says it's not unheard of for hailstorms to kill birds. He does not know how the toll from last Sunday's storm compares to other events. After missing the first Democratic presidential debate, Montana Governor Steve Bullock hopes to up his profile at the historic Presidential Forum for Native American Issues this week. Olivia Reingold reports.
Montana Governor Steve Bullock says his experience representing a state with a 7% Native population has helped prepare him for his Monday appearance at the Native American Presidential Forum in Sioux City, Iowa. From signing Hannah's Act into law to launching the first apprenticeship program on tribal college campuses, Bullock says indigenous issues are
something that I've done a lot of work on as governor, and I think it's important that we elevate that as we look at what we need to do going into 2020.
He's not the only one who thinks that. Bullock is one of 9 confirmed candidates attending the Frank LaMare Native American Presidential Forum, along with Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and others. President Donald Trump was invited but is not listed as a confirmed candidate. Participants will appear one by one, starting with self-help author Marianne Williamson at 9 a.m. Monday morning. Bullock is scheduled to speak at 3 p.m. that day. 3-person panels composed of a male and female elected tribal leader and a youth will take turns asking questions while Indian Country Today editor Mark Trahant will moderate. Trahant says the forum is a departure from the past 2 Democratic debates.
Oh, they won't even be on the same planet. I'll be talking about issues that, for many of these candidates, it'll be the first time they've talked about it.
He says their traditional talking points won't work. They'll have to think on their feet and navigate new territory. But this forum is also about leaving them better informed than they entered. One of its stated goals is to help educate candidates on the issues. So I'm wondering, what are some things you're looking forward to teaching the candidates?
Well, I think about the complexity of Indian affairs and how it really is part of the American story.
He says he hopes to tell candidates about the treaties the federal government must uphold and their legal obligations to do so. He hosted a similar forum in 2007 called Prez on the Res, but major candidates didn't show. Former U.S. Representative Dennis Kucinich was the forum's biggest name. Now, Trahant says this forum will be much bigger, and that's in no small part because of the battleground states that the Native vote could swing. There are 7 contested states with high Native populations: Arizona, North Carolina, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nevada, and Colorado. That's from research by Four Directions, the nonprofit that's hosting the forum. Kevin Alis is the CEO of the National Congress of American Indians, which will help host the forum. Alis says in the past, the margins were too big for politicians to pay attention to Native American voters, but now...
If you look at the 2016 election margins, we matter. We make a difference.
He's talking about states like Michigan, where President Donald Trump won by a hair last presidential election.
There's almost 110,000 Native American voters in the state of Michigan, and the margin was only 11,000 in 2016.
And what about Montana?
Montana is a very important state for us. We have a very large Native population for us there, and the issues in Montana that tribes face are very similar, you know, the bases everywhere else.
He says outdated infrastructure and poor rural broadband are issues that people face across Indian Country. Dustin Monroe has his own questions he'd like to see candidates answer. He lives in Missoula and is Blackfeet and Assiniboine. He used to run a nonprofit that registered Native Americans to vote throughout the state. He voted Bullock into the governor's house twice, first in 2012, then again in 2016. But now he says he and his friends will watch the forum with other candidates in mind.
I think I really want to see the answers. I really want to see how Elizabeth Warren differs from Bernie Sanders.
He's eager to see how candidates address things like economic development on reservations. But for Bullock, Monroe has a separate set of Montana-specific questions.
I would really ask him about the housing in Montana and why for reservation communities that has not improved.
Monroe says the fact that candidates will be pressed on issues like this is a historic moment that would make his ancestors proud.
It makes my heart feel good because our issues are starting to, people are starting to realize the value and our voice is starting to be heard.
He says he can't wait to turn on the forum live stream first thing Monday morning. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal Art Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.